Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Some homes carry with them an energy, a sense that their walls have witnessed more than their fair share of sorrow. Or perhaps something darker. Tonight, we bring you a story of one such place, a house nestled in the quiet outskirts of a small town, where one woman's quest for a fresh start became a descent into fear and uncertainty. It begins with whispers, soft, indistinct voices that could easily be dismissed as tricks of the mind. But as days turn to weeks, these whispers grow louder, invading her dreams and leaving marks not just on her psyche, but on her very body. Alongside the fear, she encounters something else, a presence she cannot fully understand. Protective, mournful, yet shrouded in mystery. Is this presence her ally, standing between her and a greater danger, or is it the harbinger of what's yet to come? As the nights grow colder and the shadows closer, she begins to question everything she thought she knew about her reality and herself. Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, I've always been a rational person. At least I thought I was. I'd never given much thought to the supernatural, the unknown, or the things that go bump in the night. Like so many others, I figured if something couldn't be explained, it probably wasn't real. But my story begins with a house, a home I once believed could be my sanctuary. Instead, it became a place I can only describe as something else. When I first moved into the house on Pine Hollow Road, it seemed like a dream come true. A quiet street, just far enough from town to feel peaceful, yet close enough to make trips to the store convenient. The house itself had charm, large bay windows, an old oak tree shading the porch, and a history that most would call colorful. The previous owner, an older gentleman, passed away under mysterious circumstances. Some whispered he died of a broken heart after his wife left him. Others hinted at something far stranger. But I wasn't one to buy into town gossip. The first few weeks were uneventful. I was busy unpacking and adjusting to my new life. It wasn't until the nights grew colder that I began to notice things. At first, it was small, almost imperceptible. A faint chill in the air that persisted, no matter how high I set the thermostat. I blamed it on the old windows, figuring drafts were to be expected in a house of its age. But then came the whispers. They started softly, just on the edge of my hearing. It sounded like someone murmuring in another room, just low enough that I couldn't make out the words. I'd pause whatever I was doing, washing dishes, folding laundry, and strain to listen. The moment I focused, they'd stop. It was so subtle at first, I convinced myself it was nothing more than the hum of the refrigerator or the creak of the house settling. Then one night I woke suddenly. It wasn't a noise that startled me awake, but a feeling. You know that sensation when someone is watching you? It was like that, but stronger. My heart raced as I scanned the room, finding nothing but shadows cast by the faint glow of the street lamp outside. Yet I couldn't shake the feeling that I wasn't alone. I told myself it was just the stress of moving, the loneliness of being in a new place. But as the days turned into weeks, the feeling didn't go away. It grew stronger. One morning, as I was getting ready for work, I noticed something odd. A picture frame on the mantle had shifted. It wasn't anything dramatic, just tilted slightly to one side. I straightened it without much thought, assuming I'd bumped it the night before. But the next day, it was tilted again. And the day after that, I tried to rationalize it, a draft, vibrations from passing cars, but it didn't make sense. The dreams began around that time. At first, they were fragmented, nonsensical flashes of shadowy figures and unfamiliar places. But one dream stood out, clear as day. In it, I stood in a dark forest, snow falling gently around me. A figure appeared, a man, though I couldn't make out his face. He wasn't frightening, but there was an overwhelming sadness about him. He extended a hand toward me, and as I reached for him, I woke up. I tried to push the dream out of my mind, but It returned night after night, always the same. Each time I woke with the same feeling of unease, as if I'd left something unfinished. And then the whispers changed. They weren't just sounds anymore. I could hear faint words, my name, spoken softly, almost tenderly. Anna. At first, it felt like a plea, a voice calling out for help. But as the nights wore on, the tone shifted. The whispers became sharper, more insistent. One night, as I lay in bed, I felt a weight at the foot of the mattress, as if someone had sat down. My breath caught in my throat, and I froze, too terrified to turn and look. The whispers grew louder, closer, until they were right by my ear. Anna, help me. I didn't sleep that night. It was around this time that I confided in my best friend, Rachel. She's the kind of person who always finds a logical explanation for everything, and I needed her to tell me I was being ridiculous. She suggested I stay at her house for a few nights, thinking a change of scenery might help. That first night at Rachel's, I slept better than I had in weeks. The whispers were gone, the oppressive feeling lifted. I started to think maybe she was right, maybe it was just the stress of being alone in a new house, but then came the second night. I was sharing Rachel's bed. She has a small house, and it was the only option. I drifted off to sleep, feeling safer than I had in a long time. But then the dream came back. The same forest, the same snow, the same figure reaching for me. But this time, something else was there. A shadow darker than the night, moving toward us. Just as it reached for me, I felt a hand grab my arm. I woke up screaming, and Rachel jolted awake beside me. Her hand was clutching my arm so tightly it left marks. She swore she hadn't meant to grab me, that she must have done it in her sleep. But the look on her face told me she was just as scared as I was. I wanted to believe it was just a coincidence, but deep down I knew it wasn't. After that night at Rachel's, everything changed. I went back to my house, hoping the whispers and the dreams would stop, but they didn't. They got worse. It was no longer just the whispers or the strange feelings. Now the house felt alive, as if it was waiting for something. One night I was lying in bed, unable to sleep, when I heard it. Movement, soft, deliberate, coming from the closet. It wasn't the kind of noise you could dismiss as an old house creaking. It was deliberate, like something was inside, shifting just out of sight. I sat up, my heart pounding, as a voice in my head, calm, rational, told me not to open the door. But I couldn't let it go. Maybe it was curiosity, maybe defiance. But I had to know. I grabbed my phone for light, walked to the closet, and slowly opened the door. Nothing. Relief flooded me, and I let out a shaky laugh. But as I turned to go back to bed, I heard it again, a soft clicking sound like nails tapping against wood. This time it came from the bathroom. I froze. The rational part of me screamed to run, to leave the house and never look back, but I couldn't move. It was like the house itself was holding me there, daring me to confront whatever was lurking in the shadows. When I finally found the courage to turn the bathroom light on, there was nothing there. Yet the sense of dread lingered stronger than ever. I barely slept that night, and when I did, the dreams returned. And this time I wasn't alone in the forest. The shadow was there chasing me. I ran, stumbling through the snow, but no matter how far I went, it was always just behind me. Then the figure from my earlier dreams appeared, standing between me and the shadow. For the first time, I could see his face, pale, tired, and filled with a sorrow so deep, it felt like a weight on my chest. "Anna," he said, "you have to leave." I woke up gasping, the words echoing in my head. But leaving wasn't an option, not yet. I couldn't afford to break my lease, and part of me still clung to the hope that there was a logical explanation for everything. So I stayed, though every instinct told me it was a mistake. One morning, as I was brushing my teeth, I noticed a scratch on my arm. It wasn't deep, but it was fresh, the kind of mark you'd get if someone grabbed you with sharp nails. I stared at it, trying to remember if I'd bumped into something or scratched myself in my sleep. But I couldn't explain it. Over the next few days, the scratches continued. They'd appear out of nowhere, on my arms, my back, even my legs. I showed them to Rachel, who insisted I must be doing it to myself without realizing. But I knew the truth. Something in that house wanted to hurt me. And then one night it did. I was lying in bed fighting to stay awake when I felt it. A heavy pressure on my chest pinning me down. I couldn't move, couldn't breathe. My eyes darted around the room, searching for the source, but all I could see was darkness. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw it. A figure darker than the shadows standing at the foot of my bed. It didn't move, didn't make a sound, but its presence was suffocating. I wanted to scream, but no sound came out. Then, just as suddenly as it started, the pressure lifted and the figure was gone. I sat up, gasping for air, tears streaming down my face. I couldn't stay there anymore. The next day, I packed a bag and left. I stayed with Rachel for a while, but even there, the dreams followed me. The shadow was always there, always chasing me. And the figure, the one who had once seemed like my protector, was gone. I don't know what's happening to me, Tony. I don't know if it's the house or me, or something I've somehow brought into my life, but I'm terrified. I moved out of the house a few weeks ago, breaking my lease and losing most of my savings in the process. But the scratches haven't stopped, and neither have the dreams. I'm beginning to wonder if whatever was in that house didn't stay behind, if it's latched onto me somehow. The worst part is, I don't know how to fight it. I've tried prayers, salt, sage, everything people say works against these things, but nothing has changed. If anything, it's only getting stronger. If you or anyone listening has any idea what's happening to me or how to stop it, please let me know. I don't know how much longer I can live like this. Sincerely, Anna, what you've just heard is a haunting account that leaves us with more questions than answers. Anna's story is a chilling reminder of how fragile the boundaries between our reality and the unknown can be. But as we reflect on her experiences, it's important to consider both the psychological and paranormal possibilities. From a psychological perspective, Anna's experiences could stem from extreme stress, sleep paralysis, or even unresolved trauma. The weight on her chest, the shadowy figure, and the scratches might be manifestations of her subconscious projected outward in moments of vulnerability. Sleep paralysis in particular is known to cause the sensation of being pinned down and can be accompanied by vivid, often terrifying hallucinations. Could her mind have created these experiences as a way of processing something deeper? But what if this isn't just psychological? The patterns in her story, the recurring dreams, the connection to the shadowy figure, and the physical manifestations align eerily with documented cases of paranormal activity. The scratches appearing without explanation and the presence following her even after she left the house suggest that whatever this is, it's not tied to the property. It may have latched onto her, feeding off her fear and energy. And then there's the mysterious figure in her dreams, the one she calls her protector. Who or what is he? Was he truly there to shield her from the shadow, or could he be part of the same haunting, a different face of the same darkness? Paranormal encounters often defy easy categorization, leaving us to grapple with their implications long after the events themselves. Anna's story raises a profound question. If this entity has indeed followed her, what does it want? Is it seeking to harm her, to communicate something, or simply to exist alongside her in a way she cannot comprehend? For now, we may never know. But one thing is certain, Anna's courage in sharing her story reminds us of the mysteries that still linger in the shadows of our understanding. Whether this is a tale of the mind, the supernatural, or something in between, it challenges us to confront the unknown with equal parts curiosity and caution. As always, stay safe out there. You never know what might be watching, waiting, or just out of sight.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.